Good evening. I'm Pastor Dennis. I want to welcome you this evening to Christmas Eve at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. Our worship this evening is different in that we're meeting online, but we're still together in heart and spirit. So let us come into our time of worship as the bell choir leads us playing Silent Night. Candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. Tonight, we light the Christ candle because Christ has come. Would you join me in the responsive reading? Advent hope moves us. Advent love leads us. Advent joy stirs us. Advent peace stills us. On this Christmas Eve, we set flame to this Advent affirmation by lighting the Christ candle. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. He was the long-awaited Messiah whose coming was prophesied. The same Jesus lives today in our hearts. He deserves our highest loyalty and total commitment. In Jesus Christ, our hope is fulfilled. Our love is consummated. Our joy is complete. And our peace is stilled. Let us sing together, O come, all ye faithful.
Thank you.
This evening we tell the Christmas story in Scripture and in song. Ralph Ackerman will be reading Scriptures for us.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, but she is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Let's stand and sing together two verses of the carol, "The Little Town of Bethlehem."
Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let's sing together the first two verses of "Angels We've Heard on High."
Visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The first Noel, let's sing together the first three verses. During this Advent season, we've been considering the Apostle John's version of Christ's coming in verses 1 through 18 of John 1. And while John doesn't include the Christmas story we all know and love, he does tell us what the coming of Jesus into the world means. This Christmas Eve, we conclude with verses 14 through 18. Hear John's words. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. I read a story about a pastor talking to one of his parishioners who was planning a sailing trip around the Caribbean. The guy told his pastor, "Yeah, next week I'll be sailing the Caribbean again for the fifth time. Sure, it's beautiful. Crystal clear ocean, blue skies, hot sun, white sandy beaches, warm wind in your face. But how many times can you see the same stuff? I mean, it's nice, but it just gets a little wearisome. It's such a burden sometimes." The pastor's reaction? I wanted to grab the guy and say, "Are you nuts? How about I take your place? Why don't you just lay down your burden and I'll carry it for you?" Well, that got me thinking. Do we ever approach Christmas like that guy sailing the Caribbean? Yeah, I know the story. Heard it 100 times. How many times can you hear the same old stuff? And here we go again, shopping, decorating, family gatherings, parties. Been there, done that. It's such a burden. I wonder if Christmas has become so familiar, so routine, that we've just lost a sense of awe and wonder about what God has done. Abram Joshua Heschel, a 20th century Jewish writer, says, "The beginning of happiness lies in understanding that a life without wonder is not worth living." Are we in danger of missing the wonder of God's word become flesh when we approach Christmas with an attitude of, "I've read the story 100 times. Do we miss the wonder of Christ's coming when Christmas becomes just another circle on our calendar? Well, during Advent, we've been focusing on John 1:1-18, John's version of Christmas. And even though that birth narrative is not there, I can't help that every time I read those verses, coming away from John's words, awed by what God has done. Matthew and Luke have given us the story. John tells us what the birth of Jesus means. And here in verses 14-18 is where John gets personal. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I think there's this question we each need to be asking ourselves this Christmas Eve. Have I received, and am I living and experiencing the fullness of his grace in my life? After all, God has offered us his fullness, his power, his presence. It's there for the taking. But have you? Is your life only a shadow of what it could be if you really received and lived in the fullness of his grace? How often we get what we ask for. In Matthew 11, verses 2-6, John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And in Mark 6, verses 1-5, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth when people began asking, "Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us also?" And they took offense at him. And in John 4, verses 1 through 42, there's a story of Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman he encountered at Jacob's well. It's a lengthy conversation, and towards the end, the woman says, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." And Jesus responded, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." And the woman returns to the village and tells the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And the villagers go to hear Jesus. And because of the woman's testimony and what they hear from Jesus, many believed in him. Jesus told John's disciples to look at the evidence. And in spite of the evidence, there were those who took offense. Those in Nazareth could only see the hometown boy, the local carpenter. Miracles? A teacher? Nothing could come of it for them, and it didn't. But for the woman at the well, she and many others in Samaria received because they listened. They had an attitude of expectancy and receptivity. They believed and received God's fullness, God's grace, and more. Grace upon grace that has been offered. We, like them, only need to respond. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You see, to experience God's righteousness, God's fullness, demands a hunger and a thirst. A hunger and thirst within, a deep yearning for something more. A yearning for personal righteousness on one hand, but also a yearning for God's justice to prevail. An inward and outward expression of God's fullness and his grace. Some don't experience God's fullness because they don't expect to or don't want to. You must want it. A friend of mine once invited her son to come to church with her, and her son's response was, "That's your thing, Mom, but it's not mine." Many people are searching for something more, but don't find it because they can't accept that Jesus could possibly be that something more they're looking for. As St. Augustine once said, "The life to which I was accustomed held me more." Some respond to Jesus like those folks in Nazareth, incredulous and scoffing. "You've got to be kidding, right? He was just a good man who lived 2,000 years ago." Look around you, or maybe look within you. How many people are truly content? I mean, life takes over. Busyness, frantic work and family life, stuck in things that in the end don't really matter and can't fill the void within. Too often people have low expectations, so the blind are still blind, the deaf still don't hear, and the spiritually dead are still dead. And yet some, like that woman at the well, some find that fullness, that spring of water that fills and satisfies. Why? Because they're receptive, expectant. They're listening with open hearts and minds. They're willing to be awed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. To experience his fullness and grace doesn't mean we're in a constant state of euphoria. Life happens. But when we are filled with his fullness, when we experience his inexhaustible grace, we are blessed. And to be blessed means to be filled with an attitude of joy and peace and hope in spite of our outward circumstances. In a prayer she wrote several years ago in the Our Daily Bread devotional, Nancy Spiegelberg says this, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain of asking any small drop of refreshment. If I had only known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket." When we're filled with God's fullness in Christ, when we receive his grace upon grace, we find ourselves not only blessed and filled with joy and peace and hope, but also willing to say and do what seems strange to an unbelieving world, willing to give when others take, willing to love when others hate, willing to help when others abuse, willing to give up something of ourselves to serve others. And we are filled again as we also become instruments of his grace. So are you like that guy going to sail the Caribbean for the fifth time? Has Christmas become a burden, a routine, a here we go again? Or are you more like a little child looking at a beautiful Christmas tree, eyes open with awe and wonder? Are you filled? Are you still in awe with God's amazing gift of his one and only Son, through whom he gives us grace upon grace? Are you experiencing the real gift of Christmas, God's fullness in Christ, his inexhaustible grace? Get your buckets out. Grace is overflowing. Light, life, love, hope, peace, joy, God's power, God's presence have come. It's ours to receive. It's ours to share. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Listen as Jeanette Beisel sings for us this wonderful carol of hope and joy.
From the Orient land. law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise we his power and glory evermore proclaim.
Pause for a moment. If you don't have a candle, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And these familiar words from John's gospel: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world." Let's light our candles and encircle the sanctuary as we welcome Christ's light into our hearts as we sing Silent Night. Hallelujah. Go in his peace.